It is really good to be with everybody in the St Paul's community today and those who are watching from wherever you are. So as we think on God's word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may the thoughts of all our hearts and may the words of my mouth be always acceptable in your sight, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen. In a week when life as we have known it has completely changed, when every day has brought new things, each of which has brought massive ramifications. In a week when so many people have had to deal with disappointments, when the day-to-day routine of so many has changed in such dramatic ways as people have lost jobs, schools and businesses have closed, and people have been advised not to go out. In a week when our hospitals and medical professionals, shop workers, schools and government organisations have been under such pressure. In a week when people have got sick, when people have died, and when people now mourn. In a week unprecedented in most of our lifetimes, where is God and where are his people? Well, God is still here. He is still here in this church. He's still in your homes. He's still in this community. God is still here. He is our rock. He is ever steady, unchanging, all-loving. God is still here. And where are his people? Well, we are still here, still part of his family, still being a church family, maybe being church in a different, more dispersed way, but the church, God's people, are still here. Never before has the church been closed for public worship. But that doesn't mean that the church is closed. Far from it. The church is way more than the buildings. The church is the people. And churches up and down our diocese and up and down our country are going to extraordinary lengths to make sure that churches stay alive, stay serving and stay open, to make sure that whatever faces us, we can continue to be the body of Christ, even if for a little while we're not as physically close as we would like to be. God is still here. All that he was before this last week, he is still. And what he is still, he will continue to be in all that lies ahead. And the church is still here. All that it was before this last week, even though it will look a bit different, it is still. And all that the church is still will continue to be in all that lies ahead. It feels particularly harsh that this first Sunday, when we can't physically gather together, is Mothering Sunday. Mothering Sunday is often known as Refreshment Sunday, the middle Sunday in Lent, where we, for a brief interlude, step outside our penitential season, we break our fasts, and we celebrate, giving thanks for mothers and all who care for us, as well as for our mother churches. There will be many today who have been separated from their mothers or children because of the need to protect one another. And there will be many for whom being unable to attend their church building will be a hard separation. And for that reason, our gospel reading today feels particularly apt. The very short passage that Claire read to us from St. John's Gospel records an interchange between Jesus, his mother Mary, and his disciple John. And it's an account that can often feel like a slightly odd reading to have on Mothering Sunday, because it's rather a tragic reading, in fact. But for this year, it feels very right. Jesus is suffering the excruciating pain of crucifixion. In the midst of that pain, he looks not to his own needs, but rather to the needs of those he loves. He looks to his mother, Mary, knowing that she would be vulnerable as she aged. And he asked John to look after her. He looked to his friend, John, his beloved disciple, knowing that he soon would be hurting and lost. And he asked Mary to look after him. In the midst of the pain and agony of the cross, at a point where everything was about to change, Jesus loved his mother and his friends so much that he made them into a new family, brought together by a shared experience and a shared pain. During this last week, we have all shared an experience together, and we have shared the pain of that experience. But one of the most beautiful things we've witnessed has been how new relationships have been formed, how people have stretched out to others in new and profound ways, how people have been willing to embrace the concept that we have responsibility to care for one another, just as John and Mary took on the responsibility of caring for each other. Maybe this Mothering Sunday should be a day of thanksgiving for all who have shown love and care during these last few weeks. Maybe we should give thanks not only for those who've nurtured us as we've grown, but for all whose love and care have nurtured us through these challenging days. Now, I don't mind admitting to you this morning that there have been points in this last week when my mind has been in places which hasn't been particularly positive, and when the enormity of the situation we're facing has felt in danger of becoming overwhelming. I've been grateful for the conversations I've had, which have kept me going, for the love and care which I've been shown. And I've been grateful for the consolation I have found in God as I've read the Bible and prayed. As St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction." We are in this together, and God is in it with us. And as such, we are able to console, to love and care for one another, just as God does. We have seen this so much in these recent days, and I pray that this will continue in the weeks and months ahead. As a young curate, I had the task many years ago of preaching on another Sunday when momentous events had taken place in our national life, the Sunday after the attacks on 9/11. On that occasion, I preached on the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. As we face these next few months together, whatever changes and challenges they bring, know that God is still here, that the church is still here, and that we are called to be people in whom faith, hope, and love abide. So be people in whom faith abides. Faith in God and faith in his church as we explore new ways of being church together. Be people in whom hope abides, never losing sight of the hope that these days, as hard as they feel now, will come to an end, living each day knowing that there is better to come. And be people in whom love abides. Love for God, love for our families, love for our neighbours. So let us proclaim unceasingly that God is here, in our church buildings, in our homes, in our communities, steadfast, unchanging, all-loving. And let us proclaim in our words, in our actions, that we are his people, as his body on earth, being people of faith, hope, and love, consoling one another as God consoles us. May God bless each one of us as we face this time together. Amen. And so let's now just hold a few moments of quiet, and I invite you, wherever you are today, to pray for God's Holy Spirit to fill you and your homes and those you love as we face this time together. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, come down upon us. Fill us with faith. Fill us with hope. Fill us with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.